What are they doing now? Spying the data pad in the hand of the hatted figure, Annalene recognized the behavior instantly. They're taking inventory, she said. That used to be the Republic's aid station on Tatooine. I don't know what it is now, given whatever has been going on out there. What has been going on? Ben asked. You'd know more than I would. I've never left the planet, she said. But if they're with this new order or whatever it is, maybe they're still figuring out what it is they own. Ben said. He glanced around, newly uneasy. Annalene checked her chrono. I guess we'd better get down there ourselves and get back to the kids. You know what? I think we should wait a while. Ben stretched and patted his stomach. To go down to the street. A little surprised, Annalene nodded. Sure. More time to talk, I guess. And it's the strangest thing, I'm suddenly developing a chill. Ben rubbed at his throat. I hope I'm not coming down with something. With that, he pulled his hood back over his head and sank lower in his seat. Annalene shook her head. Obfuscation Kenobi was back. Across town, Mullen signaled from his post near the round building. Nothing yet, Vika said, speaking into her comlink. In the passenger seat of the landspeeder, Oren shook his head. They said docking bay 87. For the third time that minute, he checked to see if his blaster was in his holster. He just felt more comfortable knowing it was there. Oren knew the docking bay wasn't where the second of his two Mos Eisley meetings was to take place. He had called the meeting. The other party would take every step to place him at a disadvantage. He knew he didn't need to be worried given his plans, but still, he wanted Mullen and Vika nearby, checking things out. Whatever faults his children had, there wasn't much they couldn't handle if things came to a fight. He was mostly sure things wouldn't, but he still reached down to pat the handle of his blaster again.
You won't need that,
a voice said from behind him. Oren turned to see Bojo Bupa sitting in the back seat of the USV-5, pointing a blaster at him. He hadn't heard the Gossam get in, but now he saw the creature's Gamorrean companions taking station at either side of the vehicle, parting only to permit the entry of a character Oren had never met before.
My speeder,
the scaly-faced Klaatuinian said, taking the driver's seat. The bronze-skinned creature then burst into giggles.
I want one! I want one!
Oren looked at the alien, then back at Bupa with alarm.
Just drive, jerk,
the Gossam said, lowering his gun and stretching out in the cushy seat.
Our buddy Gold here has somewhere to be, and he'd better tell us what we want to hear.
Chapter 31. Now, kids, Annalene said, you realize this will be my land speeder and not yours, right? Just so we understand each other. Huh? Jabe said, sitting behind the controls. Equally spellbound, Callie ran her hand across the hood. Oh, yeah. Sure, Mom. Ben grinned at Annalene. I think you're in trouble. I have been, she said. For 17 years. Annalene looked around the Delroy Speeder showroom. There were models here she'd never seen, nor was she likely to, out in the desert. With its open cockpit and ornate steering vanes up front, the JG-8 seemed the least practical of all. She'd need to keep it in the garage to preserve its ruby color. It's nice, Ben said, examining the display nearby. The price was there at the bottom, listed with options and without. Both figures were in the tens of thousands of credits. He looked up at Annalene. It's a generous gift, to be sure. A gift? Right, Callie said, rolling her eyes. If you can't win their hearts, buy them. It's the Galt way. She looked back at her mother, who was admiring the interior. But it's the only way we'd ever get something like this. Oh, I could afford to buy it myself, Annalene said. But I never would. Ben raised an eyebrow. I didn't think a frontier merchant did so well. Annalene smiled. What, did you think the personal deliveries to new arrivals cut into the profits? I really don't. It's 20-plus years of scrimping and saving, and avoiding whatever new thing Orin had for us to invest in. She ran her hand along the rich fabric on the seats. But this is amazing. I didn't think anything like this existed.
It is amazing, isn't it? Asked a husky voice.
The dealer, a happy squat human in his 50s, patted the rear engine lovingly. He gestured to the back seat.
It's the extended model, ma'am, straight from Sollust. Extra room in the back for light cargo, or for your children.
The retailer looked at the teenagers fawning over the vehicle and then at Ben.
Congratulations, sir, on raising such a fine family.
Ben stammered. Oh, no, these aren't as fine as you think. Annalene finished. She grinned at his unease. Breathe, Ben. She turned to the dealer. But the land speeder looks wonderful, Garn. What happens next?
Master Galt authorized the contract yesterday afternoon, ma'am. She's all yours.
The seller passed her a pouch containing the vehicle's maintenance codes.
Be sure to tell Orin that Garn Delroy provided good service.
I will. Annalene looked back to see that Callie was already in the passenger seat and that Jape had started the engine. I'd better go now, if I ever want to see it again. Come on, Ben.
Ben followed her into the back seat. Annalene gasped as she sat down.
Have you ever ridden in anything as nice as this?
It is nice, he said.
Jabe guided the vehicle out through the wide doorway and into the busy streets of Mos Eisley. The foot traffic was noisier than the land speeder by far.
Take it easy now.